Hello, everyone. How's it going? It's nice to see y'all. This is actually the first service that I've been to, like inside this building, which is really funny. But I'm really excited to share with y'all and to share a little bit about myself as well. So today, I'm going to be speaking out of Mark chapter 16, which is the ending. But before that, I just wanted to share about my experience trying out or applying for this job. So basically, one of my good friends in college, his name is Lyle, he moved to Laguna a couple years ago, and he told me about this church. And as I was going through grad school, he kept reminding me to check out this church because there's an opening in a youth minister position. And at first, I was kind of unsure if I was ready for that because I was still going through another year of school. But you know, something in me decided or made me decide that I wanted to at least reach out and to talk to the pastor, which is Jeff. And so as I went through, this was probably around January time, I emailed the church saying that a little spiel about myself and how I'm potentially interested in this job position. And as the month or two went by, we communicated via email, and then eventually I got invited to go speak at the church for youth group back in late February. And so everything was going by really fast and kind of, I'd like not to sound cocky in any way, but it just felt easy, which was definitely a sign that I should be taking this serious. And I felt like I never had to share things about myself or pretend like I'm a different person. I was pretty transparent, and they're transparent with me, and it just seemed like it was working out very well. And so as I was going through this process, and I'm sure on their side too, I always felt encouraged by the people that I'd meet and always felt like this might be the path that I should take, especially going into my last year of grad school. And so early in March, or maybe it was mid-March, me and Jeff met at a church in Beverly Hills, and that's where he basically talked to me and offered me the position, and we just had coffee together, and it was really nice. And I was excited, I was nervous, I was unsure, but at the end of the day, I knew that I wanted to be a part of this, which is an outcome that I didn't expect a couple months before. But the funny part is, maybe 2 or 3 days after was when COVID hit, or at least when all the quarantine scare started happening. So within that very week of getting offered the job, I was also moving off campus and getting my stuff together, going back home, saying goodbye to all my friends, and just all this unsureness and unclarity started to fill my mind and fill the room everywhere. And for a while, it was actually pretty scary. I thought to myself if I even had this position still offered to me because of just all the abrupt change. And as I went home, I got to spend a lot of time home alone, and I got to kind of just sit in my fear and sit in my instability, basically. And it made me really nervous about what was going on. And usually the things that I would go to like let go of my stress. Like, I love skateboarding. I've skated my whole life. And every time I would go out to skate, it was just so eerie. Like, there's no one out, and it didn't really make me feel better at all. And same with surfing. I love surfing too, and I'd go out into the water. But there's something that wasn't there, that usually was there, that would let my stress be taken off of me. And what I realized is the things that I looked towards, especially when going and de-stressing or letting go of my burdens, was through God. And I used different mediums like skateboarding or like music or surfing to find God. And because I was so uneasy with everything going on and all the uncertainty, I couldn't find God there. And so I just had to turn to Scripture. And This scripture, especially in Mark chapter 16, gave me a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement, especially going through a time where things just aren't so simple anymore. And so if you would like to follow along with me, I'm going to read out of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, which is the resurrection story. And the reason why I really like this story specifically in Mark is because the author beautifully subverts the resurrection story into a different focus, which I'm going to share about the focus of discipleship. And so I'm going to read out of verse 1, and this is from the NIV. And it reads, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Do not be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified, and he has been risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Like, what type of ending is that? I know when I first read this, or when I first just started reading the Bible on my own and just exploring the different parts of the Gospels, this part always confused me because it sounds very negative. And in a way, it sounds like it's a failed mission. Here are these women going to anoint Jesus, and they're left afraid and silent and unsure of what to do. Or at least this ending doesn't seem complete. In the other Gospels, they have different endings, and it shows that Jesus was able to be reunited with the disciples, and there's this grand celebration. But here's a very different picture. And so why must Mark choose to end this gospel like this? And before I get into why or to what I believe Mark was doing, let's take a peek into the literary devices used in Mark. And so Mark, by many scholars, is considered to be the first of the four gospels. And for a long time, this meant that they believed that Mark's version of the gospel was more primitive, and it was, in a way, like it was just a quick summary of what Jesus did compared to the other more refined gospels, such as Mark or such as Matthew and Luke. And so, as scholarship went on, one of the things that was brought up in Mark was that this was a very this is a very special book because it provided a different look into not only the life of Jesus, but also the life of what it would be as a disciple of Jesus in this time. And so a couple things that are very special about Mark's book is that the vocabulary and literary devices used were, I guess you can say, more primitive. There was simple language. There was less words. Over 90% of what is written in Mark is paralleled in other gospels. But the one thing that is really special about that 10% that is unique to Mark is the view of what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. And so as you read all throughout Mark in each major section, one thing that keeps popping up time after time is that Mark is very harsh on the disciples. When you go through the stories and you read through the different miracles or the different words that Jesus had professed over his ministry, one thing that always, I guess in this way, doesn't fail is Mark's addition that the disciples don't really understand what's going on. And time after time, Jesus has to either repeat what he has to say or talk to them and give them further instruction about what he just preached on or what he just did or what miracle he just performed. And so I think this is like very clear that Mark is trying to portray the disciples as something at least. And it's not as negative as it looks. I think that Mark is going towards into this gospel and asking the readers, what does it look like to become a disciple of Jesus? And of course, they're using, or he or whoever wrote the book of Mark is using the disciples as the prime example. Here are these people who got to spend time with Jesus at all hours of the day. And the ones that were closest to him constantly failed. And they were always looking, and they were always unsure, and they were always left trembling and bewildered, just like these women. But Jesus always had patience and always had another opportunity to tell them, which is something so encouraging. And so when looked at in depth, Mark is not just a simple abridged version of the other Gospels, but it is rather an account that shows a different side of Jesus, a different side that helps us understand who Jesus really is and what it means to call yourself a follower of Christ. So when looking back at the scripture, I'm just going to give a little summary just to remind y'all what happened. So Mark shows a scene in which Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome come to the tomb to anoint Jesus. They're coming to bless his body. And when they get there, they already notice that the stone is rolled away. Instead of finding Jesus, they find this angel-like person that is waiting for them. And immediately they were alarmed and afraid, and they were brought into fear. But then the angel speaks up and encourages them, saying to not be afraid, and that Jesus has already been risen. And then he goes on to a very special command. The angel commands the women to present or send word to the other disciples that are grieving and that are back in Galilee. Or they are just, they're all spread out, and he tells them to go back into Galilee. But the women were trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And I believe that's one of the biggest cliffhangers, especially in the Bible. When looking at the themes of discipleship and irony, I believe it suggested that this is also a literary tool being used in this ending by the author. And maybe the author, Mark, is asking the readers themselves or the people who are hearing the message of Mark to ask themselves a question of what would you do in this situation? Putting yourself in the disciples' feet or as a believer, if you're presented with this, what would you do? And luckily, even though it's ended on this cliffhanger of the woman being afraid and not saying anything, we already know what they ended up doing. It's very clear in the other Gospels that they went out and overcame their fear. And even though there is all this uncertainty and just a lot of confusion, they held on to that word and they went back into Galilee and they told the disciples to meet Jesus there. And what I believe, which is what is so beautiful about this, is that Mark is not simply describing the resurrection, which in itself is so beautiful, the resurrection. But he is also shifting the scene or shifting the focus onto the women, onto what it means for discipleship and what it means to listen to a command when you're totally unsure of what's going to happen. And this message, especially to the rest of disciples and to Peter, is important as well, because they were all commanded to go back into Galilee. It is only in Galilee that they will be able to be reunited with Jesus. And this isn't just a mere rendezvous, but more importantly, it's a call to the disciples to return and to follow Jesus once more. It's very clear that even through his death and resurrection, that Jesus and God is giving his followers and his disciples and his loved ones another chance to believe and another chance to be faithful. And even though all the disciples had fear and uncertainty, all signs pointed to follow to Jesus once again, even in his death. Perhaps the reason the disciples go back into Galilee is because that's the place that they were first called. When you look earlier in the scriptures, they were all called in Galilee. They were all simple people living a simple life in a small town. And Jesus came and asked them to follow him. And now he's asking them to go back into that town where they grew up to meet once again. And in a way, it's almost calling the disciples to begin again, a fresh start, after all of this failure on their part. They failed to see Jesus' identity throughout the entire book, but now they're invited once again to learn what discipleship means. And when you go through the rest of the New Testament, it's very clear that this clicked for them, that they did learn. But before I guess, get into application or conclusion, let's look a bit into Galilee once more. So not only were they called to go back to the place where they first began, but this also suggests that they're going back to a place where it's not so easy to be a believer in Jesus. When you look at the story of John the Baptist, or just all the scrutiny that they went through, they are potentially going back to a very harsh time and a very harsh place, especially for their beliefs. And so, knowing this, they still listened because Jesus was there, regardless of the outcome of what it means to be a Christian or what it means to be a follower. It's calling the disciples to turn away from Jerusalem and to go back towards Galilee. And that was the cost of their discipleship. The disciples have come this far with Jesus. They went through all these challenges and all these obstacles, only to be told that the Anointed One would be put to death and that they might too die of a similar persecution. And yet they still listened, and they still wanted to see Jesus in the flesh. And although this ending isn't, you know, like blue skies and rainbows, this message is truly beautiful because it shows that the Lord is still entrusting his disciples to follow him, even unto death, to provide love and freedom to those who are lost, just like how the disciples were themselves as they were learning from Jesus in his ministry. So as the disciples were sent back to the beginning of their faithful journey to following Christ once more, what are we to do with this scripture? In the light of everything that's going on with this season of COVID-19, many students, such as myself, have been sent back home. And a lot of high school students are sent back home, and a lot of middle schoolers are sent back home. And even the adults are forced to live this restricted lifestyle. And it seems like us, too, are going back to our roots. We are all sent. And I know I felt this a little more when I was going to Pepperdine and I was being forced off of campus into my own home. But in a way, I saw this as like, whoa, this is my chance to go back and to become stable again in Jesus and to begin again and to have another chance to start something new with this faith. Even though I was feeling pretty strong at the time, because of all that uncertainty and because I had nothing to grab on other than to Jesus, this is that message that filled into me was I had another chance to put my faith in God and to put my faith in something that I had no control over. Again, I was wondering throughout the summer if I still had this position available or I had to wait out another year or whatever. I had no clue what was going to go on with my living situation, everything. It was so up in the air. And yet, I felt like that this was just a time for me to show God that I'm ready to follow him and whatever he tells me. And that brought me here, which has been the biggest blessing so far. And I feel like I've told all of y'all before, but one of the greatest things that I love about this community and especially about this church is your welcoming spirit. There hasn't been one time that I've felt uncomfortable or out of the picture or in like a wallflower. Like all of you come up to me and always encourage me and always tell me great things, whether that's about the community or the different members of the church or even something that I have said. And I could have never experienced this if I hadn't listened to God and listened to his call. And so we don't really know when life is going to go back to normal, or at least what we viewed as normal back then. The looming fear of job security, health, the economy, it grows. And it's very easy to latch onto that. And it's very easy to fear this virus and to fear this uncertainty. And I totally feel that. And when I'm not careful, it's easy to go back into. Just like how it's easy for the disciples to once again misunderstand what Jesus is doing in the scripture. But when looking at this scripture and applying it to my life and maybe your life too, is that Mark is prompting us as disciples of Jesus to continue to follow him, especially when the future seems grim or unsure. And even though our circumstances may not be as life-threatening or as scary as the first disciples faced when Christianity was growing at that time, it's still very relevant for us to stay faithful. And it's important for us to lean on God and our community as we enter in this time of doubt and uncertainty. We have this community that we are in this room right now, and it's important to latch on and to just talk to one another and to be transparent. Because without that, there's just so much. And the disciples needed that. They needed that group when they were mourning, and we need this community, especially as our whole world seems like it's mourning right now. And just like the disciples, I believe that this is a time to be called to begin again. And this may be a sensitive topic because COVID-19 has affected all of our lives, and it might have affected your family or yourself a lot more than it has affected me. But what I want to explain or to encourage you on is that even though there is no idea what the future has in store for us, but God is constant. And God and Jesus is the only thing, at least in my life, that can provide me with encouragement and can provide me with the hope that transcends all understanding or a peace. And when we can't predict what that future has in store for us, there's one thing that has been proven to be evident more than ever for followers of Jesus. And that is, regardless, Christ has been risen. And there's nothing that can stop Jesus from delivering his message. Mark calls us to believe that Jesus is risen, and our fears are conquered through that. And the most important thing about our life of disciples is to follow Jesus, regardless of what we think is best for us. And even though all of our futures seem unclear, what I'm trying to do is to trust in him and to go and to proclaim God's name, just like the first disciples did. Thank you. Will you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this moment, this very special time that we get to gather together. And I've never felt like I needed it so much until this time, Lord. And it's just such a blessing and such a gift that we're able to have something like this, Lord. And this is all from you, and this is just such a gift. I pray as we go throughout our day that we can just find something, Lord, that we see in you, whether that's in Scripture or whether that's just in this community, Lord, or in a song or through words of a loved one, Lord. I just pray that we look out for that, and we, once we find it, that we just latch on and we keep that close to our heart, Lord. Because I know that you're calling out to us at all times, and sometimes we just have to sit there and listen. I pray that you just bless everyone in this room, Lord, and you give them peace and hope and just joyfulness and good health, Lord. And we all praise you, and in your name, amen.